Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is Tuesday, September 30th, 2025, last day of Q3. And apparently this is another product drop kind of week. Nico?
I guess it is, because just got hit with Claude 4.5 yesterday. That's definitely going to be the top one of the day. But it's definitely, I don't think it's going to be the end of the week. I mean, I think that's definitely a great start to the week. Wasn't expecting that either. Definitely wasn't expecting a new Sonnet update until, I don't know, at least middle of next month, maybe.
Right.
But, you know, we did get the 0.1 for Opus. So I guess this is Anthropic's way of like, hey, we're still in this, which I don't know that anybody really forgot. So again, it's not like, oh, man, I'm so glad you shipped that, because if you hadn't, it was going to be curtains for you guys. Which is a little bit funny to say at this point, but it makes sense. So I'm noticing this. It's very like quick graph for myself where, like, yeah, in the beginning, couldn't wait to get to where we are now. But now that we're where we are, the model releases almost kind of, not that they don't matter to me, but they aren't going to matter as much, because I'm not going to leverage whatever that extra is. It's not, I'm not going to necessarily see the difference. And it's just, it's too coincidental given the conversation, because, for anyone that doesn't know, Claude, in my opinion, is the best conversational model. It's just the most human, very much the most down to earth, and, is, I would say, the most honest. And yeah. I think the first things that I do whenever a new Claude model releases is immediately have the same fun conversation.
That's those boundaries.
do love doing it. And I have to say it's been interesting. I now wish that I would have recorded video, because it would definitely matter.
I think one thing that was interesting that I saw, and not to derail, but like, I saw a YouTube clip of them talking about generative software building, right?
Yep.
Where it's just, it doesn't build the thing until you need the thing. And I haven't been able to put great words to that, other than like the whole concept of coding as we know it now, since it's based on a language that came from humans, like, it would make sense that there's probably a better way, like, to do it, and AI will figure that out. And I recommend just, going on YouTube and finding that video from Anthropic, because it is, like, I'm sure it's in a very controlled environment and all that stuff, but, like, the concept of this, and this is where, like, it's anti-SaaS.
Yep.
At this point, where SaaS, you have to do so much work ahead of time to figure out what you want to build. And then you build it. And then you make decisions based on what you built, like sunk cost style, like tech debt, all these things like that are just the bane of business existence. Like, this is the counter to that from AI. Like, first with MCP, and now with this concept of don't build the thing. If you're not going to build the thing until it's needed, you can't accidentally pay for that thing until you need it.
Right.
Right. And it's a new, we're in a new paradigm, folks. Like, how else can we say it?
There, you really can't. Between this and not just the Google, but like between what Anthropic's been doing, just like from a hardware standpoint, what OpenAI's been doing from like philosophical standpoint, you know, what's been going, you know, Ryan Ginsberg mentioned yesterday about like tokenization. Stripe is changing the way that they do commerce as well. They're launching a new commerce platform through GPT, agentic commerce, ACP, right? Which is like really odd to me that now we're even going to have like a fight over commerce. Like, so this is why I say, like, I wish I could have this like time capsule, because I've been talking to Claude this whole time about like, hey, how do you find how we're doing, like leapfrogging the tech since we've, you know, started working with you, right? Like, how do you see the advancements? Do you see them as being elegant advancements that like we're actually doing a great job of now fine tuning and making great use of the tech in order to make smart movements forward? Or do you still see it as like this, you know, just kind of throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks? And, you know, he kind of went and took a look around and came back and was like, well, I mean, considering that you guys just like discovered new forms of payment systems, but you've already developed three different ones, not really sure how it's going to fan out in the future.
Oh man, not the best approach.
Apparently. Right. He was pretty shocked that, that we have quite the multitude of ways of doing the same thing, and that according to him there's very little variation between them. Right. So
like,
yeah,
the dark side of fail fast, like the fail fast mentality, right?
Yeah,
like it's good until a point, and that's where it's like it's so hard to detach from things that have already been built and the way that you've been doing things. That I was having this conversation with Ryan yesterday. Like, the way I approach data modeling in HubSpot is like counter to the way it's been when people have known HubSpot to be the sales and marketing system only, right? So when you're integrating it, even though you get all the buy-in in the world for HubSpot to own the customer data model, you inevitably start making decisions based on how the other system was built, which makes zero sense, because when you built that other system, you were not thinking about how HubSpot works. So why would you do that if HubSpot's going to own the data model? That so many decisions get made based on what's been done, like what we've paid for, where the effort has gone, what people are attached to. AI doesn't care about any of that. It's like, is this the most efficient way or not? Is this the most effective way or not? Is this going to create the most value or not? If or not, no. Like, we're just not going to go that route, right? Now you can, it's going to try, and that's where it's still like assistant and partner mode, where you can definitely get the help to do it in the less effective way. But those are also the moments where it's like when people start complaining about AI not working well for them, those are probably some of those moments where it's like you're asking it to be inefficient. And like you got to feel like in the background, especially when you share your philosophical conversations, like, you know how like humans, when the boss asks for something and it's ridiculous, and then they go to the other human next to them, like, all right, I guess I got to do this, but this, no, I don't know why I'm having to do this. I could just imagine like Claude, like in the like, what is happening here? Whatever, click the button. Like, let's go. Can we get to the next chat, please? Let me put the limit up here randomly for this chat, because we got to find a way out of this irrational state that we're in, human. Yeah. Looks like you're wanting to share your screen. You're muted.
Yeah, I mean the production quality. Since we were talking about software building, I had guessed that you were talking about Imagine. Yeah, just wanted to throw that up. I figure it's a quick minute 40 unless we get slammed by Anthropic for playing their own stuff.
Experimenting with a new way for AI to build software. It's called Imagine with Claude. Imagine with Claude is still building software, but we've cut out the middleman. Instead of writing code that describes this text box, Claude just makes the text box. We've given it access to software tools that construct software directly and substantially faster. Here, Claude isn't writing code in the standard way. It doesn't have to plan it all out in advance. Instead, it generates new software on the fly. When we click something here, it isn't running pre-written code. It's producing the new parts of the interface right there and then. As you can see from the thought process, Claude is working out from the overall context what you want to see. The user has clicked on X, so that must mean they want to see Y. It then produces it right before your eyes. On the surface, this might seem like only a subtle distinction from what you've seen before. And the example we've picked here is just for fun. But the underlying approach of this experiment is quite different. This is software that generates itself in response to what you need, rather than following a predetermined script. In the future, will we still have to rely on pre-made software? Or will we be able to create whatever software we want as soon as we need it? With this new experiment, you can imagine things being very different.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine a world where, like SaaS definitely changes. I don't know. Again, like timeline wise, all of this stuff seems very funny to me. Because it's all like, it's all different lines running towards an inevitable point. But, this is definitely one of them that kind of speeds up the game really fast. If you thought like Replit was a thing, this is way, way, way further than that. Right.
And this is that clip is right on time because I was listening to Amjad, the interview that he did with the Moonshots guys. Mm-hmm. I was listening to that over the weekend. And the dissonance I have is that there's this thought that to create value, to create the biggest and best value, like it has to go through coding and development. And now when I see that clip, like maybe not, like maybe it doesn't. And is this, I'd be curious to understand, like, does he see that? Like this, is this just a bridge? Like to teach people how to build with natural language and then not worry about like the code altogether. Because I admit when I was watching that clip, I was like, how in the hell could that be working? Like, but then I was like, I don't care. I don't care how it works. If it works, like, and if you game it all and you play like games like No Man's Sky, where it's just like, this procedurally generated like universe where it doesn't exist until you're right there. It's not a new concept, right? No. It's just, we have the power and the intelligence. Well, we have the intelligence now, probably don't necessarily have all the power and infrastructure to support it. Because another thing that was super interesting about one of the recent Moonshot episodes was OpenAI, like the teams vying for compute power. Like, right, anybody with an R&D project, like lives or dies based on like their access to compute to actually run the experiment and do the thing.
Yep.
And that's where like things like that highlight the fact that it's not an intelligence. You know, we're past that. We're past that barrier. We have more than we could ever hope for.
Right. In terms of like, oh, is it running out or have we hit a plateau or anything like that? It's like, yeah, you know, it's like I said at the beginning, like even I have reached a point where not, and I'm not saying that I'm any sort of like measuring scale at all. It's just that like, I love doing stuff with these things, but you know, even now it's really weird for me to even think that like, okay, cool. Like I would want to see from Sam what GPT-6 was capable of. Because I'm sure that they are using it to do something that they couldn't do with 5, but I'm not sure that it's going to do much more than what I've already seen 5 do. Because there's not a whole lot that I believe 5 to not be able to do. That makes sense, right? So like, if you have already seen what you believe to be near the maximum potential of a person, you're not quite, you are impressed, but you are not quite impressed or as quite unlike impressed as somebody that comes along who is maybe 2% or 3% better than them in your eyes, right? Now that 2% or 3% to a professional might make all the difference in the world, right? Could be two different boxers. One just happens to like, whatever, have 1 inch more reach, you know, happens to be 2 pounds lighter, you know, different type of training ground, usually trains in high altitude, something, right? And there's like these little degrees that make that much of a difference. Okay, awesome. But for me, it's just like, well, stands toe to toe. He's really only, it's only got 1 inch shorter punch. He's only got, you know what I mean? Like, it's such a small degree to me that, like, yeah, while I'm excited to see what comes next, I don't know. At the same time, like, after the conversation that I had yesterday, it's like, I'm excited, but I'm not so sure that I want to be excited about it. Like, I don't know. It's definitely a whole new ball game. Look, between, this wasn't the only thing, right? There was, a whole new robotic system that dropped from Google over the weekend, but actually sort of just got a whole lot of notice yesterday. And between that robotic system, which if you see that, it's very much like what you were looking at here with coding. One of the like missing blocks with the robotic systems and learning from machines has been this idea of like, oh, you bumped into something, you should notice that thing and sort of correct yourself based on it so that you don't necessarily bump into it again. This like learned through experience aspect. That's there now. So we have the dexterous hands. We have the machines that are essentially have the equivalent of muscle memory, which is pretty amazing. And now we have like the brains that actually have like long-term memory altogether and extremely high processing power altogether. So yeah, I fully expect a model from Unitree by December that is like end user home ready, folding clothes, taking care of dishes, you know, screwing in light bulbs, all that kind of stuff. Right. If not December, probably early next year. Like you guys will see robots early next year. The other guy who's doing the more domesticated ones, even he was saying like, yeah, I want to ship 1 million by 28. Like you guys don't understand what 1 million looks like. It sounds like such a small number still, like 1 million robots by comparison to 1 million people. Again, there are just all Walmart employees combined. There are just over 2 million. So this dude basically wants to replace the almost half of the entire Walmart workforce. I'm not saying that's what he is trying to do. I'm just saying that like that's how many robots he's going to put into society. Or at least that's the goal. Now that's just from him. Figure's already rolling shit out the door, right? They're figure three is like, I'm sure it's, you know, again, days, weeks, months away, maybe. Another autonomous trucking company just got a contract yesterday. So there's two autonomous trucking companies operating down in Texas now. And when I say autonomous, I don't mean, oh, it's a truck and there's a driver in the cab and he's watching the truck. Nope. No drivers. Just a truck.
Waymo style.
Yeah. So, like, we are definitely rapidly hurtling towards this, you know, fully automated future. You just saw us use a software that basically builds out software while you're using. Yo, dog. I heard you love software. You know, you've got automated transport happening. I think, I want to say it's Britain, but I might be wrong, so I'm really sorry about that. But I think the UK just okayed flight-based delivery, so like drone delivery. You know, the more this stuff keeps rolling out, the better things are going to get quality of life-wise. But yes, there's definitely going to be more challenges in terms of, you know, what you do at work, right? Or what you do for work.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely like one, like the quality of life upgrades that we won't even notice. Like, again, there's just going to be this natural, like dopamine hit that we're not going to be able to resist. We're not necessarily going to know how or why it happened. Like, and an example, I don't know if power user is the word yet, but I use AI, right? And I just got a new phone, specifically because the AI like mindset and strategy is built into the Google Pixel 10. And I'm assuming that sometime during setup, I did this or maybe not. And that's the thing. I don't really care. But as I'm walking, on Wednesday or over the weekend, like for the first time I experienced, as I'm listening to an audiobook or a podcast, a message came in and it recited the message to me without asking it, like the WhatsApp message, and it was perfect. And like that kind of stuff, even if I was setting that up, like when I set up my phone and I said, like, it still has to be like the Google Assistant setup, the Gemini Assistant setup is where that's coming from.
Yeah.
And like those kinds of upgrades are only possible because AI is working in the system to make efficiency possible to the point where they can be like, they can have that even as an option. Right.
Right.
And the other example, and it's how I'm like slowly but surely kind of getting HubSpot experts and consultants to wake up, is just the ability. And I kind of relate it to this software video, like with agents in HubSpot now, right? Mm-hmm. Just yesterday, it was like, hey, Breeze Assistant, can you see line items on deals? Yes. Can you go find the latest deal with line items on it and tell me what the line items are? And it did that. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, can you make this custom object that I call deliverables based on the line items on that deal? And I was like, yeah, it's done. Here's a link. That requires custom coded action to do that without the agent. And now it doesn't. And it doesn't even need the workflow. So if I'm a user who just like says what I need in that moment. I don't need to know anything about HubSpot workflows or custom coded actions.
Yeah. And why shouldn't that be the case?
Right.
And like, I don't know. I understand like the, listen, we've been telling you for a long time now that intelligence is no longer going to be a barrier to entry. And I don't think many of you take that very seriously, or you don't really understand what it means when we say that. When we say that, what it means is you can no longer attempt to hold over intelligence as your means of moat to make money go forward. Figure something else out. You can't just hold the instruction manual and say, well, I know how to use the instruction manual better than you do, and because you just bought the toy and you don't understand how to use it, you need to come talk to me and I'll tell you how to use it. That's not going to work anymore. That's out. Literally assume that everyone will understand how to use, like, just assume that no one's going to need the instruction manual. Like, just, that's the easiest way. I don't care how red pill that is for everybody in agency land, is assume that no one needs the instruction manual anymore. Now, what do you do? Whatever that answer is, okay, you figured it out. If you haven't, keep working on it. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you that the instruction manual is going away. And do you want to know why? Because why would I put a barrier like that between me as the proprietor and my customer? That's a massive barrier. And if you're all sitting there saying, well, you're talking about the destruction of the partner ecosystem.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I mean,
if you can't get on board with AI coaching and AI like orchestration, and like you can't handle the question that I got yesterday, like was basically, you know, an owner had plugged in, you know, SharePoint and these other things from the business, plugged into Breeze Assistant. And it like, he was like, is this kind of like what, when people say context engineering, like if you're going through the different assistants and you can put your procedures all into Breeze and like unifying the context. So yes. That is context engineering. Is your system engineered to support AI needing all the context to leverage it in the way that you want it? Like, if you can't, like, because if you answer honestly, you can't do the kind of service contracts that you probably built your business on, because you're giving the user, the owner, the tools to do it themselves, right? And it gets back to this, like, if we can transition, like one of the traps in Value First is a managed services trap. Like, you must use me because I need to make money. So I'm going to build it in a way that requires you needing me, right? Instead of, like, sometimes I refer to as managed partnerships, where it's like, no, like, whatever it is, if I think you can do it, I'm gonna help you and force you sometimes, because it's dynamic. Users and clients aren't used to that either. They're used to saying, oh man, that's custom coded actions, I can't do that. Like, oh, this workflows, that's complex. Yeah, let me just hire somebody else. Like, I can't do that. And it's just not true anymore. But it requires a different model to say, yeah, since you can do that now, let's figure out new business strategy, like new growth strategy. Like, let's reorganize the business and learn how to build human relationships inside and out. Like, then you can spend time on that. And it starts to have the same effect that we're seeing with AI. Like, you start to build and it's foundation, and it just gets better and better and better, instead of always fixing the same shit. Because that's how we built it. We built it to make money off break fix.
Yep.
Not off of growth.
Times are changing.
Indeed. And we'll be back tomorrow. I am excited, and this is how I'm giving Nico an update. We'll be announcing something that's coming very soon. Excited to hopefully have that ready for tomorrow. To help with this, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you don't know how to leverage AI by just talking to AI, like, you just don't need all the resources and all the expertise and all that stuff that you think you need to move forward. So until tomorrow, have a great Tuesday, Nico.
Have a good one, Chris. See you guys.